Thanks, Joe. Good morning, everyone. So our reading today is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. You can find that on page 1793 of the Bibles on your chairs. It will also be on the screen beside me here to follow on if you want. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of our Lord and of the Lord, and you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
Well, thanks, Lockie, and good morning, everyone. If we haven't met, my name's Matt, and I'm one of the pastors here at Trinity Church Tonsley. And if you've been around this year and you're thinking, who's this guy? Why haven't we met? You can be forgiven for not knowing. I've only ever been part of Tonsley Church part-time up until this point, across our first 2 years, spending about 40% of my time here. But in recent weeks, our family also took 3 months long service leave over summer. And since we got back, we've been farewelling Colonel Light Gardens. Last week, we installed a new senior pastor at Colonel Light Gardens, freeing me up from my responsibilities there. And my wife, Grace, along with our three kids, now call Trinity Church Tonsley home. So for many years now, as you've probably heard a little bit of, we've talked about finance and vision and general meetings and things like that. We've been envisaging Tonsley as a great place to plant a church that would eventually have multiple gatherings. And I guess to understand it in short, we are here to start planning for a new evening gathering to serve many across all the ages, but with a main focus on building up young adults and reaching many more in the next generation with the great news of Jesus. So if you'd like to know when we're starting, what time the service will it be here at TAFE or elsewhere, who's going? They're great questions, and if you can tell me the answers, then we'll both know, because I've simply been set aside to gather a group of people so that we can work all that out together this year. In the meantime, nothing much is changing here at Morning Church. The main way I'll be serving is preaching a little more to give Cam time to focus on other things that make for a great life together as a church. So today we're kicking off a 5-week series in 1 Thessalonians, and you'll see an outline of where we're going in your leaflet today. And I think it's a great series as we prepare together for this next chapter in our life as Trinity Church Tonsley. As our reading today gives us a beautiful picture of a local church planted not long ago, it gives us a picture we can aspire to as a people who continue to respond to the great news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection together. What we see is a simple and clear vision of what a healthy church looks like for us to kind of discern and reflect on with a humble sense of dependence upon God, but also with a sense of gospel ambition to see the good news of Jesus spread rapidly in our city and beyond in our time and until the day of Jesus' return. So it'd be great to have your Bibles open to page 1793 in the Bibles on your seats. And as you turn there, a little context is helpful. The Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians, a young church that he planted some time back with deep affection. which is astounding, really, because we read in the book of Acts in chapter 17 that he only spent sort of three weekends there in Thessalonica, preaching mainly in the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now, some of the Jews, with a great many devout Greeks, placed their trust in Jesus, and the church was born there, with perhaps allowing for even more, a couple more fruitful ministry weeks there among them. The Jews stir up a mob, setting the city into an uproar, with Paul and Silas smuggled away in the night for their own safety. So the Apostle Paul, church planter, has a deep and abiding affection for the Thessalonians, not based on a long sort of shared history with them, but rather because of their wholehearted response to the good news of Jesus. So just turn over the page, if you've got your Bible there, to the top of page 1795. Let me read to you from chapter 2, verse 17, where we read, "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you." And as we press into chapter 3, this intense longing to be with them just builds and builds, with kind of verses 1 to 6 as great examples in chapter 3. So we can see, along with many other precious truths, we see across the series how the gospel of Jesus actually forms such deep and enduring bonds, which I think will be quite instructive and encouraging for us. So let's get to it, back into 1 Thessalonians 1, page 1793, and let's rock and roll. So to get your head into the Thessalonians world, the first thing to note from verse 6 is that the Thessalonians had welcomed the message of Jesus in the midst of severe suffering. As I said, Acts 17 kind of gives us some context to the story that when the gospel came to town, religious opponents rounded up what they referred to as bad characters who started a riot to drive Paul and Silas not only out of town, but to pursue them out of the next one as well. In the way Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he's obviously had some intel that life had continued to be hard for the Thessalonian believers. So as Paul opens verse 1 in his letter, writing on behalf of Silas and Timothy also, he addresses his letter to the church of the Thessalonians that he states that they are in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this church under pressure, he's seeking to impress on them that a deep spiritual truth that beyond the suffering they're experiencing day by day, that God is with them, they are in God, in Christ, part of God's family now and forever, as God reconciles himself to sinners as the good news of Jesus is proclaimed through his church here across the earth. He wants the suffering church in Thessalonica to know that they are one with God, central to his plans in this world and his purposes, and he wants that to be a great comfort to them. God is in this, you are in him, and with him forever now. Rejoice. Paul mentions verse 2 that his continual prayers for the Thessalonians, and says verse 3, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, after spending such a short amount of time with them, feels so bonded to them, so encouraged, because he's seen the genuine fruit of the gospel, faith, love, and hope in Jesus, moving them to labour and work for God amongst great hardship, and they've endured serving God together. The faith, love, and hope that the good news of Jesus produces has a very tangible outworking in the life of the church as they work and labour to build up God's church with great endurance in hard times. I would say if you're looking for good Christian community, enduring friendships in the Christian life, there's many ways I see people trying to approach it. And they're not all bad, by the way. Social groups, having people in your home are all good things. Yet I would say the foundational, not to be overlooked, most powerful way to generate deep affection and bonds in the Christian life is to work together for the cause of the gospel with endurance over the long term. as I look back at our previous church, Kernelight Gardens, my absolute favourite memory over 11 years was seeing what faith, love and hope produced as we sort of entered the year that was 2020 and all that it brought to us together. As a church, we pushed back against that kind of COVID narrative amongst the, that time that said, you know, play it safe, cut costs, just keep things afloat. So at our first opportunity, sort of in the second half of the year, we had a number of small dinners together and just talked about where we were going together as a church, to be encouraged by God's word, to check in on how we were all going after the lockdown and to think through what giving ourselves for the sake of the gospel would look like in the years ahead. So amidst the pandemic of 2020 and all the financial uncertainty that brought, we lifted our giving, not 15%, but 30%, for the sake of planting this church here at Tonsley that we benefit from today. And I know, having spent a all of Term 1 at Kernelight Gardens, they're so encouraged to hear what God's doing amongst our people here today. And I must say, on a personal level, it's actually a deep joy to walk in with my family on a week like last week and see what faith, hope and love are producing here at Tonsley. So last week I was greeted at the door by Mike, who I know, along with Pam, shared their super encouraging testimony here last year. And I remember being there as two people who, when they really articulated that they'd come to understand with great clarity what Jesus had done for them in their time with us as people, and as people who know what it's then like to walk into church for the first time, they, along with the whole welcoming team here, have given themselves to try and make our church better at welcoming, and the joy that they find in doing so is really just something beautiful to behold. So we got notice on Wednesday, I read the email on Friday, about the car park closing, and so we put the notice on our team communication tool. I think Mike was the first person to give a thumbs up there, and as we walked in through the southern door there, who's got it all sorted out and had name tags, and the same one welcome, of course, it was Mike, who, along with a great team of people here, really focused on trying to help people feel welcome here among us. It was great last week too to see two people sent out from Kernelight Gardens with two people who hadn't met as we do so serving us so well in music last week. It was a real joy to have them helping us all sing our praises to God. To me, it's a great illustration of people working together, serving God as his people, flowing from the faith, love and hope the gospel brings, working its way out in church life together. As I walked up to the morning tea table after the service last week with our youngest, we both have celiac disease, so avoiding gluten is not a preference, it's super important for us. So to see a plate of gluten-free food was exciting, but with one of the teenagers serving on the morning tea team, actually put down the normal tongs and picked up the special ones to ensure our food wasn't cross-contaminated. Like, it's actually quite a big thing for us. It shows a huge amount of love, and it's great for my daughter to see because she watches these things because we've had to train her to do so. But I just thought to myself, that level of care cannot be achieved by writing a food policy. It can only come of a group of people who operate as a great team that set out to really love our church family. Great to hear about Summit Camp before. I love serving on the youth team this year to bring together Summit Camp. And wasn't it great to hear from four of our youth just before? And I love serving with the leaders as we serve and glorify God. We serve and share the gospel as his people. As we do that together, whatever sort of team or part of church you're involved with, it does deepen our bonds and affection for one another, doing something that at some points can be quite hard, all out of that great desire to glorify God and the gospel and to share the good news of Jesus. So then last week, I could tell stories all day clearly, but it would be remiss of me not to say that last week Sunday finished off with me just sitting up the back and watching Taste and See, our new course for sharing the gospel that was referred to earlier. Now, as someone who's often driven a lot of the missional energy at churches I've been involved with over the years, it was kind of next level for me to have absolutely nothing to do with Taste and See and watch the mission team deliver something that was really great. to a whole bunch of people wanting to find out more about Jesus. So, you know, Joe's already told some stories. I could clearly keep going on all day. But what I simply want to say to Trinity Church Tonsley is keep going. You're off to a great start. And it's very evident that your faith, love, and hope are producing great labour in the Lord. And if you're relatively new to this church family, or if you just kind of catch yourself thinking, oh, I've missed out on a bit of that in recent years. We all get there at points in life where just life just crowds everything out. And you might have stayed away from joining a small group to open the Bible with, or held back from the encouragements like Joe gave us this morning on joining a team. Can I encourage you and remind you that as we respond to God's grace, the faith, love, and hope God has given us are shown to have genuinely taken hold as we labour together in the Lord like this. As we participate with what God is doing in the world through the proclamation of the gospel, we get to have the joy of participating in the greatest, most diverse, most significant cause in history as God builds his kingdom here on earth through churches small and large across the globe, making a people for himself to share eternity with. It's a beautiful thing. So if busyness in study, work, family life are keeping you from doing this, it's don't beat yourself up from being there, but I would encourage you not to stay there. It's totally worth having the conversation this week about being part of potentially one less sporting team, doing one less bit of professional development. It's totally worth it being willing to put serving God, his gospel, and his people into life first, and being comfortable with the fact that you might actually get a credit, not a distinction at uni. You might actually miss the promotion or whatever, because such work, labour, and endurance prompted by our faith in God and his purposes, our love for God, our love for one another and God's world, are set against this beautiful and sort of sure and certain and pure hope of eternity with God. So it's great to have that thought that these are just wonderful things to express our love for God, and that's how a healthy church responds to hearing the gospel of Jesus. All of that, as I see it, so widely spread across Tonsley, is something to really thank God for here among us, in our city, in this time, just like Paul takes the time to give thanks for the very tangible expression of faith, hope, and love in his day in Thessalonica. But as we read through 1 Thessalonians, we get to see that Paul is not only thankful for what he is, he also longingly prays for more and more for this church in Thessalonica. I mean, they seem like such a model church responding to the gospel. Yet as he kind of gets to the end of, this section of 1 Thessalonians, as chapter 3 comes to a conclusion, which we'll see in a few weeks. I've put the verse up on screen. It'd be great. Thanks, Ella. We read this. This is how Paul sort of finishes up this section. He says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." As we will see across the series, there's great thankfulness for what faith, love, and hope have grown among God's people, but also a godly, gospel-hearted ambition for much more fruit to come, for love to overflow for each other and our world, displayed through the concrete acts of loving service to the purposes of God. And also that as we do so, we're pursuing holiness as we await the return of Jesus. That's another major theme we'll explore in week 4. But for now, though, come back with me to verse 4 of today's passage and read with me. Chapter 1, verse 4, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you." It's a clear and unambiguous declaration of something the Bible asserts over and over. That coming into a saving relationship with God always starts with God's initiative and God's sovereign choice. God's work to send his son to die on the cross for our sins, so that God's justice is upheld and his great love is displayed for you and I. In a passage where the Thessalonians are praised for their endurance, working for the Lord, sending the gospel out, it kind of ringing out from them, there's this gentle and grounding encouragement, a reminder that all of this started with God choosing the people of the Thessalonian church to be a people he's glad to call his own. In verses 5 to 10, I think Paul's doing two things. He's sharing the content of his continual praises to God for the Thessalonian church, as well as reassuring this young church that God was powerfully at work among them, displaying the genuineness of their faith, which is particularly important for the Thessalonians to know and be strengthened by, given the apostle had only been with them a handful of weeks and been run out of town by the authorities. Let's see the flow of Paul's argument together. I think there's kind of four steps here for the note takers. Step one, the gospel was preached. Step two, the gospel was believed, empowered by the Spirit, and bringing deep conviction and great joy. Paul knows they've been chosen and their faith genuine because our gospel, verse 5, came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. He says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with a joy given by the Holy Spirit. Now, it's quite common in the world today for people to kind of bundle a lot of their kind of hopes and dreams into what the church will be under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of that's helpful, some of it's not. Good to take note in the passage today what we do actually see the Spirit doing. It's bringing deep conviction to the church in Thessalonica that the things being revealed to them about the world and God's creative power, his saving glory in Jesus, it's bringing deep conviction that that is true, that God's revealing to himself how the world actually works. That's actually bringing real joy and hope and love and faith and endurance as they persist in a deeply challenging time. So there's two things that we can count as the work of the Holy Spirit among us. So anyway, step one, the gospel was preached. Step two, it was received amongst great suffering with deep conviction and great joy. And step three, the gospel rang out for them to the surrounding regions, we read in verse 7. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. And finally, step four, others far and wide are now telling Paul of the great faith the Thessalonian church has as they labored and endured to see the gospel going forth from them, starting verse 9. For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell, this is people in all the surrounding region, they tell how you, the Thessalonian church, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So I think this passage kind of ties together two things that we genuinely sort of find attention with. We kind of rightly want to give all glory and honour for what we see in our lives to God, and that's a good thing. But I also sort of think we're not robbing anything from God or his glory or his work in the world as we take the time to appreciate the ways that we see what faith, hope and love bring out in the life of the church. What starts with a very appropriate focus on what God has done, lovingly choosing the Thessalonian church to be his own, ends with the thoughtful praise and encouragement of what the Thessalonians have done as they responded to the gospel. And I guess I've tried to model that today as we reflect on our church family. But I think holding those two things in tension and saying we can do both of those things, I think helps us have a sort of a tie all together with a sense of, what I've titled the sermon, a sense of gospel ambition to see the gospel spread rapidly in our city, state and world in our time. It's a good thing for us to be a healthy church, singing God's praises, welcoming new people, loving one another, with a mission team like we have, helping us all reach out to our world and think about the mission that God has given us, so that we pray that the gospel might ring out from us far and wide like it did from the Thessalonians, known regionally for their loving service of God. It's a great thing for us to kind of have that sort of inbuilt sort of thought that, you know, it's tough to talk about because we're not really doing it for our glory, and it's easy for me to misinterpret it at this point. So please hear me saying this all has to be shaped in this continual praise and thanks to God for what he's doing among us. But also great to have that sort of gospel-hearted ambition that we as a church here at Tonsley might be a people known who've turned from serving the idols of this world, you know, financial security, career progress, beautiful homes, a catalogue of unique experiences to dine out on. They're the things our world pursues. Wouldn't it be great for us to be known as the people who've turned from that and are lovingly serving the God who has done everything for us, to serve the living and true God who has set a date in his diary for the return of his Son. Between this day and that great day, I think it's a good and healthy thing for us to have a gospel-hearted ambition together for our city and our world to participate as God makes his Son Jesus known to a people not looking for him. That whatever we choose to do, whether it's investing in our youth group, starting an evening church, God willing, planting many more churches, or whatever else our labour and sacrifice of produced by faith, love and hope may produce, that God's glory would first of all be sort of made big in our hearts, but also that many others in our time, in our city, country and all of God's world would find salvation through hearing and responding to Jesus, just like it did when the gospel came to town in Thessalonica and continued to ring out from them. So come back to me as we kind of hone in on why all this is important and why it really matters. Come back to verse 9, which I think is a great summary of the genuine response to the gospel that we want to follow as the Thessalonians turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We then read verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Now, you know, mentioning the coming wrath of God is less than popular in our world today. I'll grant you that. But it's a major focus of where Thessalonians ends up in chapter 5, if you want to read ahead. So this is just the kind of taster setting us up for where all of this is going. And I just want to say up front, if we avoid or reduce the emphasis in the church that we serve God today as we wait for Jesus' return, and that God's wrath against sin is coming, from which the only rescue is Jesus, if we kind of shy away from that in this kind of cultural moment, as is our temptation, it is to our great and enduring loss. This mention of the coming wrath of God is a jarring conclusion to a largely encouraging passage, but it is an introduction to the stunning conclusion of 1 Thessalonians that we'll look at in 4 weeks' time. As God reveals with great clarity where our world is headed, to a day of judgment by God, with Jesus being the only one who can bring safety, security and rescue, as our passage today says, to save us from this coming wrath. Because if we take that bit out, we kind of miss the power on why all of this, our prayerful plans under God to kind of serve him as we await this day of Jesus, really matters. We miss the kind of imperative of why having a great sense of gospel ambition together as a church isn't, you know, yet another way we can find in this world to glorify ourselves, but actually it's at our heart, it's to glorify God and lovingly serve every person in our world, or some 93% of Australians who currently will not be safe on that day. There's much more to come in this series about our gospel ambitions, but for now, sometimes it's just good to feel the importance and feel some of the sense of tension that comes at the end of 1 Thessalonians as they just sort of mention offhand, leading into where Thessalonians going, that Jesus is the only one who can save anyone in our world from the coming wrath. So visualize with me. This is my way of helping to land something emotionally and share a story from our long service leave. So visualize with me a very real moment from our recent long service leave break. The Lehman family are towing our caravan to our ultimate destination, a week snorkeling on Ningaloo Reef. Now, it's 43 degrees outside the car as we're heading up there. Air-conditioned comfort inside. And I know there's a pretty dodgy roadhouse about 150 k's behind and not much for a few hundred k's behind that. And we don't know what to expect in Exmouth, which is still 150 k's ahead of us. Yet as we're driving along, we see a trailer, one of those portable trailers that has the LED screen on it with a warning sign on it, warning us that dust storms are forecast ahead. Now, the wind's blowing some 50, 60 k's an hour. There's kind of those whirlwind things, whatever you call them, kind of ripping kind of through the desert on both sides. And the sky gradually goes from blue to hazy to red to almost a dark blood red. The visibility drops to about 30 metres because of the sand in the air blowing across the road, and we had to slow right down. So, true story, this January just gone. I shoot up an arrow prayer to God saying, I don't want to break down in hell. Because the thought occurs to me that if we break down here, it's pretty unlikely anyone's going to come past and help us, because it was pretty quiet on the road that day. A few people had pulled over with their lights on. I thought if the car stops working at this point, the air conditioner breaks down, the temperature will go through the roof in a matter of minutes, and it's not like we can hop out and find some help outside after it. And I thought, who knows how long it's going to last? Well, I just thought, well, long enough, I'm guessing, to make it worthwhile to tow an electronic sign out to the middle of nowhere and park it by the side of the road to warn people. So it struck me, for the first time, I reckon, in life, that we were only safe in this kind of apocalyptic-looking storm as long as we're in our 13-year-old Toyota Kluger and that it keeps running. And because I had everyone most precious to me in life in the car at that point, you know, listening to a podcast, actually inside I was kind of freaking out and sort of praying to God. It's a memory that will stay with me for life. We are only safe as long as our 13-year-old Toyota Kluger protects us. Now, it's not only a strong emphasis of 1 Thessalonians, but of Jesus and all of God's word contained for us in the Bible, that this age will end on a day far more intimidating than the one we drove through, on the day the wrath of God will come against sin. We're told in the Bible the sky is going to turn black, the stars are going to fall from the sky. It will be the most terrible day for our world. And being in a car with an air conditioner on won't save you. Only being in Christ, being one of His will. Only those who are in Christ will have a place in eternity with God and the new heavens and the new earth. And that's currently, give or take, 7% of Australians. Only 7% of Australians will be there when every tear is wiped away and true joy will be there for eternity for all of those who are with Christ. It is, I get it, and I feel the literal and figurative coldness in the room at this point, it is an unpopular part of the gospel message today. So it is routinely sort of de-emphasized, left unsaid, and I'm saying that is to our great loss. It's knowing that Jesus saves us from that, which truly helps us feel the depths of God's love for us. To send Jesus for you and for me to save us from that. He chose us to do that. Who are we that we would be saved on that great day? I think the enduring value of feeling the weight of that day that actually helps us endure now, make sacrifices, to endure for the gospel, whatever God calls us to do, that helps us kind of see the real and eternal value of God's ministry through the church today, of what it means to labour for the Lord now, praying that we might continue to be a people used by God so that the gospel rings out from this building in our time this day. It helps us to kind of never settle, to never think, oh, you know, I've got a lovely community here, I'm just sort of happy with that, but rather to persevere with that big gospel-shaped ambition, trusting in God, looking for His provision, longing to see our love for God, one another, and our world overflow as we turn from serving the idols of this world and serve the true and living God, sharing God's message of Jesus as our world's only Saviour and hope. That's a bit of an intro into where we're going in 1 Thessalonians, and hopefully it's a bit of an insight into what for me, and I know for so many of us here, keeps us looking outwards to the harvest field, not just to the barns in here, as we persevere in serving our Lord and most wonderful Jesus, Saviour Jesus today. I'm going to close for now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can look with great insight through Your word into just a wonderful response to the gospel message that's modelled so well for us in Thessalonica so many years ago, that by the power of Your Spirit, this message of the gospel brought deep conviction that You are revealing the true state of the world and Your plans for this world as we read Your word today. Please bring and continue to bring that deep conviction in our hearts today. And we pray as different sufferings come upon us in our modern world, that we are called to sacrifice different things, that another great outworking of Your Spirit at work in us is that we would serve You with great joy and encouragement. We thank You, Lord, that for all people who consider themselves followers of You today, we can look back and know that it's not by any sort of smarts that we have or gift that we have to discern these things, but that we are Yours because in Your great kindness You chose to save us to serve You. We pray for all the people at Taste and See and those among us today who might be considering these things for the first time, Lord. We pray that wholeheartedly they might throw themselves on Your mercy and find You to be a gracious and loving God who includes them with all of us in Your great and enduring purposes for this world. As You take us towards the new heavens and the new earth, as Jesus returns and all those who is made His are safe on that day with an eternity of joy and great love for You and one another to look forward to for all eternity. With all the things that press on us, week in, week out, with the different responsibilities we have, our cares, our anxieties, our troubles in this world, please may Your word, by the power of Your Spirit, just press deeply into our hearts so that we might respond to You in ways that bring glory to You, bring goodness for us, and most importantly, this message of salvation to Your world that You care for and that You love and that You are on mission to share the great news of Jesus with many. Please give us the great blessing of participating in that great mission and seeing You work great acts of power amongst us and in the lives of people we know. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious and very powerful name. Amen.